inside that cloud.
Also, how could you eat an entire box of Pop-Tarts and still be this hungry?
This drink, I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
Sorry, Izzy, little accident.
What was that?
It was delicious, I want another.
Well, you could have just said so.
I just did.
No, I mean, ask nicely.
I meant no disrespect.
All right, well, no more smashing. Deal?
You have my word.
Good.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Avengers Academy. This is the joint show between Only Stupid Answers and Comic Pop. For this episode, I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge, and with me, as always, is Sal. Hey, Sal.
By Odin's beard.
Oh, if you couldn't guess by that. Oh, we're talking about, because we're watching these movies, the MCU movies, in chronological release order. So on Comic Pop, we just did Iron Man 2, and now we're at 2011's Thor. You know, I shouldn't be me. A lot of people like Thor. I'm just not one of them. I'm just not one of them. I believe my sister's a big fan of the Thor movies, although I think that has more to do with Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston than it does with the character of Thor.
My assumption on that.
Yeah. You know what? I get it too. On both counts.
Right.
But sorry, gang. It's been a week, and I'm like, wait, how do we do this show? Which is the thing? What do we think? what things are we doing? I think where we start off with is Make Mine Marvel, where we do a little of the behind the scenes stuff of the show. Ooh, I got my book right here.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, we pull from this book, MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios. But before we do that, we've got this one. It's directed by Kenneth Branagh. It was written by Ashley E. Miller, Zach Stentz, and Don Payne. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 77% with an audience score of 76%. And the synopsis of the powerful, arrogant god Thor is cast out of Asgard to live amongst humans in Midgard, Earth, where he soon becomes one of their finest defenders. Sal, before we get into it, what are your just overall thoughts on Thor?
This movie specifically?
Yeah.
It's fine. You know, it's certainly a movie that I was looking forward to because of the strength of the MCU. Mm-hmm. It would never have been a movie that I would have clamored to see if it was unconnected to a larger universe.
Yes.
But I appreciate it for what it is, and I'm always mystified by how successful Thor movies are, despite how I think unsuccessful Thor had been for the longest time. Thor, by the way, long-standing character, long-standing series, surprising. Yeah. There were at least four different iterations of Thor, including a horse Thor. Like, there's a, which I prefer, but
Thor's,
you know, Thor's, Beta Ray Bill, of course, my favorite.
Oh, I can't believe we don't need to talk about that here, but I can't believe we haven't done Beta Ray Bill. And I can't believe they made Taika Waititi do Gore the God Butcher. Like, no, Taika should do the Beta Ray Bill one.
Battle of Beta Ray Bill against Surtur would have been amazing.
Yeah.
And I like these movies, and I had a good time seeing it. I remember when I first saw it in theaters, and I was like, this is fun. I thought it was weird that they got Kenneth Branagh to direct it, but I also understand why they thought they needed to. You know, it's one of those things where I was like, okay, if you're gonna make a Thor movie and you have success, you've made successful Iron Man movies and you've made a middling Hulk movie, you cast the Royal Shakespeare Company to be all your Thor characters.
To do your Thor, yeah.
And you can see there's actually some surprising, there's some great performances in here. And they're all from Tom Hiddleston.
I would say this cast, is especially in the early phase one, has to be one of the best ensembles of the MCU. And also, I would argue, one of the most wasted. Like, there's so many people like, wait, I forgot Stellan Skarsgård's in this? What a waste. What a waste of Stellan Skarsgård's ability.
Yeah, a lot of people were also introduced to Idris Elba on a larger scale.
That's true. Also, we didn't know it at the time as much. I mean, if you watched The Wire, you did. But
yeah, right, exactly.
Also, as Heimdall, what a waste.
What a complete weird waste. And I remember people complaining. They were like, what? This is supposed to be Norse. He's black. Doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Who gives a crap? Who gives a flying
about
these space aliens who are pretending to be gods? Like, I don't care about what color they are. Yeah. And he's great. And he commits, which I'm like, why would you? Jamie Alexander also should have been Wonder Woman.
Yeah, this is a great audition for it. We'll get into it, because to this movie's credit, for better or worse, they do all the Thor things.
They do all the things.
They do all the things. And that's only a problem if you're like me, where you think most of the Thor things are kind of stupid.
They're kind of silly. Yeah. And like, look, but it is. But, you know, I say go for it. Now, that also being said, you are making a, like, arguably budget Thor. You can't make, you know, Thor Love and Thunder, where it's like $600 million and it's a complete waste of money and time.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Let's get into it. Yeah. Let's start with the BTS. So at this point in time, 2011, we are at the point where Disney is acquiring Marvel, which requires them to renegotiate the distribution deal Paramount had for both Avengers and Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. And now the bank, they've made enough money, the bank deal, and now Disney's coming in. So that bank deal where they leveraged some, like, I think it was like 11 characters. I can't remember what I said in the previous episodes. But whatever characters they leveraged to get the funding to make these movies, that's fine. They're in the clear.
Yes.
Far and away in the clear. So New York, i.e. Perlmutter. So Disney, Marvel Studios is on the West Coast. Mike Perlmutter and the rest of that group are on the East Coast in New York. And New York wanted to start exerting more creative control because now the Marvel Studios is the cool kid on the block. Yeah. And so they're like, you know, they want their piece of the pie. And so he implements the creative committee, which included Dan Buckley, who's the president of Marvel Entertainment, Joe Quesada, chief executive officer of Marvel, Brian Bendis, who was a huge writer at the time with that. I mean, he still is, but he's, you know, at his heyday. Yeah. Louis Desposito. And Kevin Feige, who are on the West Coast, and then Alan Fine, who is the newly promoted VP and is understood to be Perlmutter's mouthpiece on the creative group. He's the guy that pushes Perlmutter's agenda. Sorry, I'm struggling with Perlmutter. So for this movie, Marvel first approached Matthew Vaughn to direct based off of his strength, I guess, of like Stardust and stuff.
Yeah.
But because of different, I think it was like timing, he wasn't able to do it. And so they ended up going with Brana. They initially hired Mark Protasevich, who wrote I Am Legend, to write without much direction because they didn't know what the fuck to do with Thor. And in his draft, Thor was banished to Earth in the Middle Ages and was enslaved by Vikings. Okay. So they were delayed by the 2007-2008 writer's strike. And this is where they lost Vaughn, who went on to do Kick-Ass, which I would argue was a good decision for his career, however you feel about those movies. And they had J. Michael Straczynski do an outline. Which is smart because he, for the modern era, he was the Thor writer.
He was the Thor writer, and also he had been working in Hollywood or television for 25 years before that. Like, the dude Babylon knows 5, story structure, and he knows how to write for the screen.
Yeah, and they courted, get this out, they courted Guillermo del Toro to direct, and he opted out of directing Thor to not direct the Hobbit movies. They even looked at DJ Caruso, and if you've forgotten that name, he did a couple thrillers with Shia LaBeouf. And then they landed on Brana, who was easily the most famous director they had hired at this point.
Yes, because not to interrupt, but like that seemed the plan, the approach to the directors, which I think should have always been the case, and I think it should always be, is that they got directors who are proven assets that need a win.
Yeah.
You know, like the dude who's coming for Captain America.
Yeah.
The Rocketeer, an amazing director, just hasn't broken through.
Joe Johnston,
completely. Yeah. It's a great director and a perfect choice for Captain America in 1995, 2005, or 2015. Yeah. Any of those eras, Joe Johnston would have done an amazing Captain America movie.
Yep.
But needed that like opportunity.
Yeah. You know,
Jon Favreau, great director, only did kind of like these sleepy like drama hits.
He had Elf prior to Elf.
But Elf also, yes, that's true. But like Elf survived not because of Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Like that's not Jon Favreau's baby.
What do you mean?
Yeah. The poster.
Don't tell Jon Favreau that. He and Will Ferrell didn't get along.
Well, yeah. That's fair.
But
Kenneth Branagh, I thought he factored into that too, where it's like Kenneth Branagh hasn't had like a big success in a long time. You know, he made Henry V, which is like this massive epic scale. Yep. Dude fancies himself, but also I know he's an egomaniac, so I know he must be a nightmare. I don't know anything about this movie.
Yeah.
I know he must have been a nightmare to make this movie.
You don't get any of that, and that might be because he's a little bit past that era. Because I would think the zenith of that, what you're talking about, if anybody's ever seen Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, or he's like, you know what the coolest thing would be right now is I'm swinging around on these chains shirtless. And you're like, yeah, I guess. Ken, what's going on? What's
that happening? But,
but anyway, I think that was like the zenith of that because I didn't see any negative stuff there. But Sal's right. Kenneth Branagh, for people that don't know, he did a lot of Shakespeare adaptations and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, where he also starred in a lot of them. And known to have a pretty sizable ego. Now he's doing those Perot mysteries, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. No. He's he was also in Harry Potter. Apparently, he was a real asshole in those movies, too.
Great. Well,
like, that's not good, as an actor, he is exactly as much of an egomaniac as he is as a director.
Awesome. So cool. So, Miller and Stent, who I just said were the writers, were hired because Marvel was looking for TV writers because they were fast. Because, again, they're coming out of the writer's strike, and they're like, we need a Thor script now.
Yeah.
Branagh wanted to change the name of the hammer. He floated the idea. He's like, I see that the metal that it's made of is called Uru. Could we do that? Because Mjolnir is a pain in the ass to pronounce. And he asked Kevin Feige, like, would the fans string me up if we change the name? And Kevin Feige was like, the fans will string you up if you change the name.
Yes. Yes.
So that he's like, all right, then we won't do it. So here are some actors that Sorry. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Sarah Haley Finn is now at this point the official. So for there used to be a Hollywood studio system where studios had, like, this is our casting director. And that kind of broke away to where each production would kind of have its own team. Now Marvel's bringing back that studio system where Sarah Haley Finn is their casting director.
Yeah, good.
I think that is very smart for them, and she is very good. She is very talented at this. So here's some actors that were considered for the role. Daniel Craig, who's a holdover from the days of Avi Arad trying to put a Thor movie together. He declined because of Bond. Good choices all around there. I would argue possibly my favorite Bond. Charlie Hunnam, who at this time, if they said Charlie Hunnam, I'd be like, boo. Now I'd be like, Charlie Hunnam's actually a pretty good actor.
Pretty good choice,
Joel Kinnaman, Tom Hiddleston, that's right, Loki himself.
There's a great, have you ever seen his audition tape for Thor?
I've seen stills from it, but I haven't seen the audition tape.
I've seen him do it.
Is it good?
It is pretty good. Like, it's
really talented.
He is perfect for Loki.
Yeah.
So you're disappointed by how good he is.
He also
has like a blonde wig.
Yeah.
And he's shredded, but he's not like,
He's not jacked.
He's not jacked. Yeah. He's lean, but he looks incredible. Like, he would have been a great, like, anything.
Yeah.
Except for Thor. Thor needs really,
he's so talented, which is why I think Loki is what he is to the Marvel Universe. Yeah. Alexander Skarsgård, which that also would have worked, I think. And then Liam Hemsworth. That's right. The other Hemsworth brother. So, Chris, who ends up getting the role, auditioned hot off of being in Star Trek, playing Kirk's dad. Great sequence, by the way. I know people have mixed feelings on those movies, but I think the opening sequence with Chris Hemsworth is quite good. So he's got short brown hair at this time, and they just weren't feeling it.
Yeah.
And then he went on to work on Cabin in the Woods with Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon. Great movie, if you guys haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's great.
And they pushed him. They saw in, like, the trades that they're like, wait, your brother's auditioning? Why don't... He's like, I already did. And they're like, do it again, man, because you're the guy. Like, you're it.
Yeah.
And so they pushed him to try again. They gave him copies of The Ultimates. He was also motivated apparently because of sibling rivalry. Like, he was like frustrated that his brother got farther along in the audition process than he did. Liam Hemsworth even auditioned using a borrowed Pepper Potts wig. It might've been the same wig that, Tom Hiddleston used. And he auditioned again. They're like, oh wait, this is the guy. And they were right. He is the guy.
More so than Liam, big time.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So apparently the mandate above all mandates was to nail Loki, who they were already eyeing to be in Avengers. And apparently the directive given to Stents, one of the writers, was, if you fail at everything else, please just give us a villain as good as Magneto in Loki, which I think happened because of Hiddleston. It was less anything on the page.
It has nothing to do with Loki as a character.
Because I got to say, Sal, I have some questions for you about what is Loki doing in this movie? Because at a certain point, you're like, I'm confused about the motivation. I don't understand what's happening.
I know. Well, it's very in keeping with his character.
It's Loki chaotic.
He's chaotic. He's chaotic neutral, leaning on chaotic evil. He is just a jackass who's like, at every opportunity, he's just like, I wasn't planning to get to this point. When I do get to this point, what can I muck with here?
Yeah.
You know, similar to Joker, but more gleeful and less, like, directly
sinister. Maybe?
Like,
yeah.
Sinister. Like, he's evil. Like, Loki, especially early Loki. Early Loki's like, how can I ruin everything?
Yeah.
But, but this Loki is like, it's just chewing scenes. You know, I can imagine Tom Hiddleston taking the job just to work with Anthony Hopkins.
For real. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so after Hemsworth was cast, he bulked up so quickly that during the costume fitting, he started losing circulation in his arms because he was bigger than what they'd measured him 3 weeks prior and built the costume around that. And he got so big so quick that he was losing circulation in the costume. And there's also a little section in the book where they talk about like one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood is steroids, use of performance enhancing drugs, PED. Yeah. And they talk to an expert who specifically says, this isn't to like bag on Chris Hemsworth, because they talk to an expert who says like Chris Hemsworth probably doesn't need them because his baseline's already pretty good. but I bring this up because of what it evoked to me and what I think is important to evoke to a lot of our audience, that if you're looking at, and this is not to say don't go work out and don't try and improve yourself, but don't necessarily hold yourself to the body standards of somebody like Chris Hemsworth or The Rock or any of these other people who have personal trainers and can do food regimens and sometimes even drug regimens to, like, I think, I don't want to speak out of school, but I think Frank Grillo has been pretty open about using performance enhancing drugs to get into the shape he's in, which is insane. Like, his shape is insane for his age. Like, he's,
I agree.
It's nuts. and so for me, as somebody that's like, man, I go to work out at least 4 times a week.
Yep.
And at best, that maintains my dad bod. Officially a dad bod.
This creates a baseline. I'm not getting any better.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those, like, if I could go back and tell my younger self a couple things, like if I could go back to college me and be like, dude, on campus, there's a free gym because you're a student. Use that shit. Because if you work out as hard as I'm working out now at your age, at like 20, you will look great.
Dude, yeah, that was I was doing that when I was in the gym, like when I was in college. I was at the gym every day.
Yeah,
and I was just really working out. I fractured my ankle over the winter break, and I never got back.
Like, yes, that'll do it.
I needed like 4 months of recuperation, and I was
that'll do it.
And it just, that was it.
The momentum is lost, but yeah, it's just one of those things. So I just bring that up to like you look at Kumail Nanjiani's transformation.
Yeah,
don't, good for him. Don't judge yourself again. If you're not hitting that, don't be hard on yourself. A lot of these people got a lot of money, a lot of resources. That's their job. Their job is to look professionally handsome.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like, cut yourself some slack. And I'm kind of speaking to myself as well. So let's go into the world outside our window. So these were the highest grossing. Sal, this is really interesting. We don't have a lot of time to spend on it, but I do find this really interesting because I'm glad this section is in here.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it does give me a snapshot of what's happened to Hollywood.
Sure. Yeah.
So here's the top 10 movies going from 10 bottom up. Cars 2. Oof. The Smurfs. Oh, The Hangover Part 2. Fast 5 did break the top 10. Kung Fu, I would argue that's the best Fast and Furious movie. Kung Fu Panda 2. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Good, but no bad Mission Impossible movies, but that's good. Yeah, Twilight. Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Ooh.
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Transformers Dark of the Moon. And then Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2 is the number one movie at the box office that year, crossing a billion. The only ones that crossed a billion were Pirates, Transformers, and Harry Potter.
Wow.
But just for some context, for one, Thor and Cap both released this year. Neither of them cracked the top 10. That's fascinating.
It is. And it's also like a good song. Like, guys, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still have a successful movie, but let me list off some of these. Oh, wait, no. You know what? I'm going to save some of these because we also have to do Captain America this year.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to save some of this stuff, but it's just a real... Here's my takeaway, and we can discuss this more in the Captain America episode that's going to be on patreon.com/comicpop for people that want to keep up. It's interesting because, one, we're not into the era of superhero domination, right? Where everything's superhero movies. But you can kind of see how we end up in that space because even though when we go through this list out, there's a lot of different types of movies that we don't really make theatrically anymore. But by and large, most of them are bad.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're like, oh, that was the problem is that, we used to make a bigger, we diversified more in the type of movies we made. But also we're in this era where most movies are not good.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help, you know?
No, it makes you gravitate towards it, right? Like those movies you listed, I was like, wow, I didn't want to see any of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they were successful.
Yes.
And it's like, can you imagine giving me the same experience as those movies, but also enjoying what was happening and feeling maybe a little bit challenged by them?
Yeah.
That's what Marvel did.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes you understand how Marvel dominance happened, less because of the superhero stuff, but because you're right, they're doing that blockbuster thing in a way. And this is not to bag on, like, obviously, no. Sal and I are not the demographic for the Twilight movies. We're just
right.
So that's or not to bag on that.
Or, cars,
yeah, or Smurfs or whatever, but I do feel more comfortable bagging on Smurfs. But, like, the only one of these movies that I have revisited and I will revisit in the future are Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol, and Fast 5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The rest of them, like, my wife's a big Harry Potter fan, so maybe Harry Potter Deathly Hallows. We already own it, so it's not like I'm supporting J.K. Rowling anymore by watching it.
Exactly.
It's just an interesting, and we can get in, when we do Cap, Sal, we can talk about some of these other movies that came out, because it's just an interesting grab bag of stuff. And so it's just bittersweet, because it's like, yeah, look at all these different types of movies. And then thinking about it, I've seen a lot of these, and most of them are not good.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so now we get to a day like any other where we just talk about the movie. And Sal, I wanted to take this moment to talk about just Thor, right? Thor okay. as a character. Because here's what I came out of this movie feeling. For people that haven't guessed, every time I've mentioned it on one of our shows, I don't particularly like the Thor movies except Ragnarok. I think Ragnarok's the only one worth watching.
That's fair. But I also don't think that they're bad. Like, I don't think that the Thor movies, except for the fourth one, are bad. I think that they are genuine.
So
there's a genuine sense of, like, artistry, if I can use that word.
Okay.
Where they're like, these guys wanted to make a movie. No one set out to make a bad movie. I don't think they meant to make Thor, Love, and Thunder bad. It was more just like they didn't care. Like, it's like, you're not going to make a good piece of art if you're just, like, phoning it in or actively fucking it up.
Yeah.
But, like, with the first three, there's just a genuine sense of, like, you know, collaboration and fun. Like, even Taika Waititi with the third one, he's not planning on building. He's not scaffolding.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. The second one is the most stuck where it doesn't know, where it's like, uh-oh, I want to make a Thor sequel because the thing that we'd ever really talk about is that, like, the MCU is a franchise. But each of these movies, like, before that concept, each of these movies would be a franchise.
Yes.
So it's like, you have each of these are franchise. And I know the people involved in them are thinking the same thing because they're movie people.
Yeah.
So, like, they're like, I'm part of the Thor franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them, they're like Thor 2. Like, they're thinking Thor 2. They're not thinking about Captain America 2 leading into Thor 2 or being connected.
Yeah.
But because they are still in this incestuous relationship with, like, the Marvel Brain Trust and the Paramount distribution and the Marvel Disney acquisition and all that stuff, they're like, Thor 2 needs to be a stepping stone, and Thor is like the least popular Avenger.
Yeah, and so, I would say the hardest to crack.
Right, and it's like, then that means that you immediately then, like, to use a current trending meme of, like, the German guy who comes up with ideas, like, put Hulk in these movies immediately. Like, don't waste time. Like, okay, so yeah, you want Thor 2 to be like a transitional movie that, like, is also like distinctly Marvel? Put a couple of superheroes in there.
Yeah.
Don't make it just Thor.
Well, but here's, like, the thing, man. And this is what I was thinking about watching this movie. To that point, I think you're right. I think specifically for these types of Thor movies, you're right. I think like I said earlier, to their credit, they do all of it. We've got the Odin sleep. We've got the Warriors 3. We've got, like, the Destroyer. The issue with me is I think most of that stuff is dumb.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I guess if you're a fan of this, you're like, cool that they did it. For me, I'm like, I kind of do lament that we didn't get, like, a 90s Thor movie where they're like, well, we need to do this different. Like, we need to, like, you know, we need to. And it's tough because it's like, I forgot. Because by the time you get to Thor 3, it's clear that Anthony Hopkins does not want to be here.
Right.
But this one, he's really good in this one.
He doesn't need to be. It's weird that they're like, oh, we got to get Anthony Hopkins back. It's like, dude, just say he's, like, when he falls into the Odin sleep in the first one.
Yeah.
He's never still
wakes up.
In it.
Yeah. He never wakes up. But yeah, and so, like, he's great. All the actors that are in it are great. A lot of them are, like, I wasted on Thor movies, I think. But it's just one of those things that, like, did we need to do the Warriors 3? Because I remembered in Ultimate Thor, the quote-unquote Warriors 3 are Thor, Loki, and Baldur. And I'm like, do that. Like, get rid of this dead weight. Not because, what is it? I'm blanking on his name. Ray Stevenson?
Oh, Ray Stevenson.
Is,
Winsome? No, it's, Ray Stevenson.
Rain.
Yeah, Studios. The guy who played the Punisher in this universe also plays one of the Warriors Three.
Yeah,
Volstagg.
Volstagg, thank you. Who's like the only Warriors member of the Warriors Three anybody gives a shit about because he's funny.
Yeah.
But it's like cut the debt, get rid of the Warriors Three. Have your this universe's Warriors Three be Thor, Sif, and Loki. That's it. We don't need these extra guys. What do they add to the movie? I don't care.
Or make a Warriors 3 movie or something. Use it. Do something interesting with it. Like, you have all these characters. You have this huge universe. You have its own franchise. Hell, maybe Thor 2 is a prequel movie about Thor and the Warriors 3 doing something. I don't know. But like,
I think it would have been interesting to I could imagine them doing this before the MCU. And I'm like, you probably have... I wonder if they ever, because correct me if I'm misremembering, Sal, I want to say in the Ultimates version, there's a big question of like, is Thor actually a god? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
I was like,
that's an interesting. Don't open with and it's Saturday morning cartoon logic. Like, we need an action sequence within the first 5 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
Because we get the whole back prologue with the Casket of Winters and all this. Yep. Bullshit.
But it's all Thor. That's what's so baffling to me is I'm like, they used it all. They used all this stuff, and it's real Thor stuff.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think what you need with Thor, if you're gonna make Thor, and I'll phrase it this way, because I don't wanna I am coming from my place of not being a huge Thor guy.
Sure.
I think to make Thor work for me, I think you need to have a real big idea for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you really need to, you can't just do, here's the Thor stuff, because I think most of that's lame. You need to have like a real, like, I think about J. Michael Straczynski's run. I think Jason Aaron's run.
Yes.
I think like you really need to have like, here's what we're doing with Thor.
Yeah.
And I think to a degree, it's a very different energy. But I do think Taika had that with Ragnarok, where like, it's a comedy now.
Yeah.
It's a goofy buddy comedy. And it's like, that's a take. That's not what I would do with Thor.
Yeah.
But it is a take, and so for this, like, here's the Thor things. I'm like, can we zhuzh it up? Like, can we
do the Walt Simonson run, where it's just like he fights a giant effing serpent?
Yeah. Because I can imagine a version of this movie where you're following Jane Foster, and she runs into this guy who's claimed to be Thor, and you're like, what? And then it's set in New York City, right? Because if you're doing this in 1990 and Thor's on his own, he's going to be set in New York. And then Loki, like, to try and get rid of Thor. We've never gotten the Wrecking Crew, dude, in these movies. Yeah. Like, maybe he gives these guys, these rough around the edges guys, abilities. So his first battle is with the Wrecking Crew. Like, his big battle in this movie, man, is with a piece of armor. It's a piece of metal. Doesn't even have personality.
but it's so distinct. It feels like Loki. Like, I don't love it, but I also didn't hate it. Like, I didn't hate the Destroyer being the villain. I just, especially because they were, I think, I don't know if they were worried that, like, you know, we have Loki. What do we need another distinctive character for?
Yeah. But, I guess just some more muscle. And then you've got the ice giants. There's a lot going on. So I guess I'll relent.
I hear what you're saying. I don't love Thor. I don't own it on 4K. I'm just saying it's like, it's not, it's doing the best it can. It's the most 2011 Thor movie you could ever ask for.
Yes. Yeah. So I do have a few notes that I want to talk about. So if we sometimes do, you know, our first, and of course this is our first Thor and first Loki. And I think that mandate of trying to nail Thor and Loki was the absolute correct mandate. And we'll probably talk about this more in Avengers. I love their dedication to like, no, Loki's going to be the villain in the first Avengers movie. And it's like, yeah, good. It should be. He was in the comics. He should be here. I kind of wish that with Justice League. I wish somebody on Justice League was like, no, Starro.
Yeah.
Their first fight is going to be with Starro.
I agree. I wish it was, man. Yeah.
We get the Warriors 3. So I have my first, the Warriors 3, Odin and Asgard, you get it. And then I have my false start, also the Warriors 3. Jane Foster, basically. Natalie Portman's great. This isn't her best choice.
You're trying to save money, and you're like, let's cast one of the most recognizable, most beloved starlets.
Yeah.
In the 20th century.
And then we're like, just going to fucking waste century. Her. We're going to waste then waste her three and, movies.
But, well, and like, why did they waste her? They waste her because they didn't want to fucking spend money, right? Like, they didn't want to cast her.
And well, here's the thing, man. Here's why I do get it. Because you need to, this is one of those things where like deep bonds are made within the range of like 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
And so you need to sell to your audience. Thor needs to be willing to give up at all for this woman. I'm like, yeah, Natalie Portman. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I probably would.
Right.
Yeah. If I come down to like Natalie Portman's there, I was like, I think I'm willing to put it all on the line for Earth
yeah,
now.
But also, I'd be also willing to do it for Kat Dennings.
Hey, you know, those are other characters I was cut by. Cut fucking what's her face, not Kat Dennings' character. Cut that. Cut Stellan Skarsgård's great. He would have been a great Odin.
Oh, I kind of like. I actually prefer that.
Yeah, why didn't we have that conversation? I guess we needed some guy on Earth to be like, I know who Thor is.
Yeah.
Sure, man. And we all go to, I have my notes. Welcome to Soundstage New Mexico.
That same street all the time, all day long that street. By the way, that whole sequence in New Mexico, like not the storming of the castle scene, but you know, the whole like fish out of water scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you want. That's what people wanted. That's what they wanted. They wanted, I like this drink, another. Psh, like, that's fantastic.
It's funny how, and I think they start to crack this in Avengers, how they start realizing, like, wait, Chris Hemsworth is funny. Thor is funny.
Yeah.
Like, we need to lean into that strength because there's something we'll never get enough of as a culture, somebody who's objectively beautiful and has any other skill.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Chris Hemsworth is, I would argue, objectively handsome as he is.
Right.
But also pretty fucking funny and charming. Yeah. That's gold. I've made this argument too. Chris Pratt in if you recast Chris Pratt in Jurassic World, don't change the script one lick. But instead of Chris Pratt, it's Chris Hemsworth. You have a way better movie.
That's true.
Right off the bat. Even that stupid scene where he catches a fly out of the air. Well, it's Chris Hemsworth.
I buy that.
Yeah. I did want to mention there's a sign in there, in the New Mexico soundstage where it's like, it says, the land of enchantment, .. journey into mystery, which is where Thor got his start.
Better comic magazine reference than Tales to Astonish in Ant-Man. When Yellow Jacket goes, Tales to Astonish, I'm like, hardy har har, go away.
Here's a question I wanted to ask you, Sal. This connects to two things. One, I've never liked Thor's hammer in these movies. It always looks like a prop. They do a really good job with Captain America's shield, making it feel, especially once you get to the Russos, they make that shield feel like a weapon.
Yes.
Thor, literally the first time we see Thor, at his like coronation or whatever. It's actually kind of unclear what the fucking thing, because he's not ready to be king.
He's not even king. I'm like, what is that? Like,
what's happening?
Pre-coronation? Whatever. Like, what is this?
He does a little hammer flip. I'm like, no, man. Because I understand the ability to lift it up is magical.
Yes.
But it's also a fucking weapon. And we're going to get into it in the Dark World, and I'm going to bitch about it in Dark World, and you'll be like, DJ, you already bitched about this. I'm going to bitch about it again. When he hangs the thing on hangs the hammer on the hat rack, that's a weapon that should pull the hat rack off the wall. Like, unless we're doing a prop fight and you have a rubber one, I'm giving Chris Hemsworth what he's a huge guy, so maybe more than this, anywhere from 10 to 25 pounds. So he carries it around. Like, be careful with that son of a bitch. But I need you to carry around with the weight so it doesn't feel like a fucking toy, because it always feels like a fucking toy in these movies. I don't like it.
That's fair. That's fair.
To the degree...
I like the design. I think it looks great. It's just that it has weightlessness to it.
Yeah, to the degree that, like, when Hela destroys it in Ragnarok, I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, this should be a huge deal, and I kind of don't care. But here's the thing I wanted. I say all that to ask you, Sal, what makes somebody worthy to lift the hammer for? what are the rules there?
I mean, in the comics, it's like, it literally is you have to be as worthy. Basically, I've always understood it to be like, you have to be as worthy as Thor. Like, the enchantment is for Thor.
Yeah, but
the enchantment is for him specifically.
You have to match
his exact enchanted worthiness. And only like Wonder Woman and, like, you know what I mean? Certain people and of course they've changed it. So, like, certain people in certain situations can do it. But, like, and the way I've always looked at it, it's like, the line, like, you know, the enchantment specifically about whosoever be worthy, it is an opportunity. It's very Arthurian, despite it being Norwegian. But it is meant to be like the sword in the stone, where anyone could be worthy, but it is specifically his. Just like Excalibur is Arthur's, even though anyone could pull it from the stone.
Yeah,
but
if they're worthy. But my question is, it's a question of, like, because I would argue Captain America is inarguably more worthy than Thor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because even this. It's so funny, man, because Thor is basically a brash idiot until, like, the second Loki tells him his dad's dead, and then it's like a switch goes off, and it's like, I'm a great guy now.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, I guess.
All right.
Sure, that's how that works.
The thing is, he goes through the trials. He is as worthy as Odin believes he is.
Like, but so if the thing is worthiness, like, think about Thor as we're introduced as a character in these movies. Shouldn't basically every Avenger be worthy enough to live? Like, what makes Thor's worthiness to the degree that it's a question with Captain America?
Yeah.
What is it? What is that maybe Cap has a little bit of self-doubt and that makes him feel less worthy? Like, what?
Yeah, no, Cap doesn't believe he's worthy. See, Thor manages to toe that line. Like, Thor, that's why I was like, the only other person who should be able to lift Thor's hammer is Spider-Man.
Hmm.
Like, because
if we do self-doubt rules, because Peter's crippled by self-doubt. But
he also understands the value.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not really that. What I wanted was Spider-Man to wield the Infinity Gauntlet. But, anyway.
Yeah.
When it comes to the thing, it's like, Thor is like, I am mature enough to understand, like, you know, I don't need like the insecurity or the self-doubt or even like the deference, like the false deference that people pay to being like, no, I know how great I am, but I also know how great I need to be in order to be a leader. Like, you know, it's just Thor. It's a complicated issue that the movie doesn't really execute.
No. Yeah, it doesn't really
explore.
Well, and they shouldn't do what I'm asking, which is like,
what are the
spreadsheet?
What's the rules?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Give him a checklist.
Yeah,
you know, like if when instead of Doden saying you're a greedy, cruel boy, instead of him saying that, he said you don't have humility. You've never loved anyone but yourself.
Yeah,
And then you see him each one of those moments. Maybe like each moment that he learns that lesson, you hear like a clang.
Oh, you know?
And then like the last one is you don't love anyone but yourself. And then like. Yeah. And it's like he's been flirting with the idea of loving Jane, but he's And then at the end, he's like, he's laid out by the fucking armor.
Destroyer,
and he's lying there, and a tear goes down his eye, and he thinks he's alone in the universe, and he thinks he's going to die. And he's like, I've learned all these lessons, and I'm still going to die here on this soundstage. And then he hears, you know, Natalie Portman go like, Thor! And it's like, you don't love anyone but yourself. Clang! And then boom! And then he gets up, you know? Like,
yeah.
That'd be something.
Yeah. Thor's out.
Where it plays up the what you're saying, where it's like, so the audience understands what worthiness is.
Well,
at the very least, you know, instead of having to define it for themselves, which is what the comics really do. It's like, worthiness is whatever you think it is.
Yeah, and that's right. It's just one of those questions that, like, I've always wondered about, like, and I don't want to jump ahead. Obviously, that moment in Endgame is fucking awesome. But it's just one of those, like, what made Cap not worthy before? If anybody in the Avengers is worthy, it's Captain America.
Oh, because
more
because
than
he
Thor.
Was showing up. The reason why he wasn't worthy in that moment in Ultron is because, like, you're not worthy in this moment. You're trying to you're trying to lift a hammer to impress your friends. That's
some good editorializing, dude. That's a good headcanon reason. I like
that's
that.
Why I did. That's
good.
Why it slipped. It slipped because it's like, well, you are worthy, but I'm not going to do it in a dick measuring contest.
Yeah, I like that. Know? That's a good explanation. Well, and then that's the thing is we get. Wait a second. That was another issue I had. Oh. Yeah, because he puts, because we'll get into it in Ultron, where there's a whole debate of like an elevator could lift the hammer up, but I think Thor puts it on an inanimate object to keep it from moving. He definitely puts it on Loki later to just pin him down.
Yeah,
The hammer could be cool. It always looks like a prop to me, and I also like the moment. So in the comics, it usually has it written in English on the side, the little like whoever be worthy. Mm-hmm. I did like the way they did that with Odin saying it.
Yeah, he says
because Anthony Hopkins' delivery of that is like real good. It's real good.
It's my only way I think of it now is him saying it like that. It's so great.
It's real good.
I can't believe that he says it. He like Anthony Hopkins reciting Stan Lee dialogue.
Yeah,
because like that's written by Stan.
Yeah,
that nonsense on the hammer.
Yeah,
that's Anthony Hopkins reading Stan Lee.
Yeah,
script. That's
nuts.
So cool.
That's nuts. It makes me excited because another little stupid enchantment is the Green Lantern Oath. I'm excited to see how they do that in the Lantern show. I'm like,
I bet they won't.
I think they will, but I think it. I'm hoping it's with the like, we're gonna when that moment happens, it's gonna be a moment. Like you're gonna want to fist pump that moment.
I genuinely hope so, and not like that awful moment that you're talking about in the Green Lantern movie,
which I haven't seen.
So poorly executed by Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that's a bummer. I'm probably gonna watch it. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie. We should probably. I should look at the timeline. We should probably watch it before. Maybe we could do
before
it for
Lanterns
Retroversity before Lanterns comes out because I've
never
seen
it. We should also read the Jack Black script.
Yeah. So stupid. Why did they do that? Glad that
There's
never saw the light of day.
I think they also did a Duck Dodgers where Daffy becomes the Green Lantern.
Oh yeah, I've seen that, but I was very young. Like I don't remember it.
But yeah, that Jack Black movie. I didn't see it, but I just know that I think you guys did a reading, right? Like Steve Zaragoza played.
Steve did a reading of it. I don't think it was with Sourcefed, but Steve definitely did.
Yeah.
Stupid. I don't remember if I read it. If I did,
I never read it.
I don't remember it. Oh my god.
I read
Roger Rabbit
too, and I've never read that fucking Jack Black Green Lantern movie.
They were doing a Roger. I mean, that makes sense.
It was a prequel.
It was awesome.
It was a prequel movie. It was set in World War II, and it was about cartoons being used as propaganda. Jeez.
Okay. For a second, I thought you were going to say it's cartoons serving a World War II. I'm like,
no,
what
are
you doing? Oh.
No, yeah. No, the cartoons get drafted.
I mean, Roger Rabbit 1's great. Maybe that could have been cool, but it sounds on paper not good.
it's not great. It's not it's not like Roger Rabbit 1.
Yeah.
It's just, but it would have been like, oh. And there were way fewer crossovers. It was just like.
Oh, yeah. I bet there were. Once you did it, it's like, well, we did it. We don't have to try and do that again.
Right. Yeah.
Why would we put ourselves through that? so last thing, we get a single post-credit scene in this one, and it's Fury showing Selvig the Cosmic Cube, which is, of course, the setting up Avengers.
Yep. That was one of the most let. That was the first letdown of a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Because Loki's like, oh, I guess that's worth a look, and I'm like, okay, so he's already mind controlling Selvig. Oh no, he needs a spear to do that. Oh yeah, okay.
Oh yeah. Well, the other thing, this movie, like Iron Man 2, has another feint where the Rainbow Bridge is destroyed. So it's like, how is he going? Which actually, honestly, is not a bad setup for Thor 2 about trying to figure out how he's going to get back to Earth.
Yeah.
But for Avengers, it's like, why are you making so many hurdles for yourself when we know not only are they going to team up, but you're going to hand wave that shit away because you don't have time.
Loki has a line. He has a line in Avengers where he says, how much dark magic did Odin have to summon to send you back?
Yeah. Well, and Loki mentions in this one, oh, this is great. I'm glad you brought this up. This is another great line of questioning I wanted to run by you. He also mentions Heimdall. Like, Heimdall's like, how'd you get past me? And it's like, I'm fucking Loki, bitch, basically, is what he says. Yeah. Sal, can you explain to me? I'll start. So we open with the Frost Giants breaking in during Thor's ceremony to try and get the Casket of Winters.
Yeah.
Loki didn't do this. Loki did it, but he didn't do it because he does not at this point know that he's a Frost Giant.
That's right.
So he's just fucking around.
He's just fucking around. He's just playing both sides. Oh, no, he's ruining Thor's day.
Day, sure. So then they go to the Jotunheim, whatever the fucking Frost Giants are. I don't remember them all.
Luffy or something like that.
Luffy's the guy. Whatever.
Yeah.
And it's during this encounter that, because now he's helping Thor start a war for reasons. And then he finds out that he's a Frost Giant, but that has not informed any of his behavior up until this point. This is a new discovery for him.
Yes.
Okay. So then Odin, rewatching, I'm like, this is audacious. That you're just going to throw the Odin sleep at people and have expect them to not only know, but accept that sometimes Odin just gets so worked up, he needs a quick nap. Like,
I think the idea was that he was... He was in the throes of Odin's sleep, and he's just like, normally there's like a ceremony, and then I ease into bed, and then I say goodbye to my wife, and then I fall asleep. But like, Loki's bullshit has forced it, so like, I'm in the middle of like cleaning out the garage in the midst of the Odin sleep, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm a slave to it myself. Bye.
But is Odin sleep? I don't know that you know this. Is that original to the comics, or is there any part of
it's
a
in
myth?
The comics.
I know it's in the comics, but is it from myth?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, because that seems like some comic bullshit. Oh. All right, whatever. So then he's taking a nap because everybody else is out of commission. Loki is in charge, but now he knows he's a Frost Giant. And so now he's going to stay in charge. He wants Thor to stay on Earth so he can stay in charge.
Yep.
And he's going to destroy the Ice Giant's home to prove something to his dad who he hates.
Right, that's right.
The
way it's carried because of the performances. Like that scene between Odin and Loki is so great.
Yeah.
Because of their, you know, behavior. Like their acting.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is Loki's motivation? He doesn't know.
Like he's
it's almost like he's trapped in himself. He's like, you made me god of mischief. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I am what I am. There's a great bit about this in Fleabag, that British sitcom.
Yes,
with
Lois.
Where there's this character, like I think it's a guy dating the main woman's sister. And he's just this dirtbag. And he has this monologue of, it's like, I don't know why I do the way. I don't know why I am this way. I just am this way.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. I think you're right. I think what makes it work, like, they really struck gold with Tom Hiddleston. Like, yeah. Really, like, and of course they know it, which is why. Actually, I think this pertains to something, a Discord question we got.
Oh, great.
So somebody was okay. Yeah, here we go. Handsome T. Ransom, Thor, have mercy. This movie sure dropped the hammer. It had so much potential and had all the right pieces, but just never managed to stick the landing for me. Yeah, I really hate how one of the most powerful Avengers' biggest villain is just his annoying little brother. Is Loki the only rogue Thor has whose skull he won't immediately cave in with his hammer?
No.
That's why the MCU kept throwing him at us. No, the reason the MCU kept throwing him at us is Tom Hiddleston as Loki is great, and they know
yes.
it.
Yes, yes. No, what they should have done, I mean, like, I was so excited for the idea of Enchantress.
Yeah, that's the other, we get the Dark Elves, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. The Dark Elves, Enchantress, Wrecking Crew, somebody, hell, you should have
turned himself, who's used as a joke.
Yeah. They blow through him as a joke, and then we get what's the Hela's right hand guy?
Yeah, the Destroyer.
Fucking what's his
Executioner.
Face? Executioner.
Yeah.
Executioner. And he's just a sidekick. I'm like, what are we doing?
I know. It's just like that shows they have no respect for this character at all. You could add Mangog. You could add Curse or the Big Serpent, which name I think Set. I don't know. Yeah. It just would have been awesome.
Do the Better Ray Bill story for the sequel. Like, come on, man.
Yes.
Thor needs to get his way back to Earth. He needs a ride. He's sick. He gets a ride with Better Ray Bill.
Yeah.
We're off to the races, man.
I mean, seriously, the Battle of the Better Ray Bill, where it's just a story about like this guy, this alien who's like, I need a weapon to protect my people. I saw yours. Looks like it could do a lot of help. I could lift it, so I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
And then Thor being like, that's effing mine. And then he runs to his dad, and he's like, Dad, I want my hammer back. And Thor and Odin's like, the Enchantress. I mean, like, if he can, no one else is supposed to lift it.
If he can
lift it, then I guess he's worthy of it. And then they have a champ. And then they have a big fight. Like, they have a contest.
Yeah.
It's just so fun, you know?
Dude.
And then at the end, Thor teams up with him, and then Odin's like, and Thor wins, and he gets it, and Beta Ray Bill has so much honor, he's like, I need it, but like, it's yours. And then freaking Odin has whatever his name is, make another one.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets Stormbreaker, and it's like, it's so awesome.
Yeah, and people, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, I love Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah, people would
love
it, man. You cast somebody wonderful who, you know, it could be a voice actor, it could be like I mean, you cast Alan Tudyk as Beta Ray Bill back in the day, and like.
Well, I was also thinking, like, granted, they already used him as Heimdall, but I was thinking about Idris Elba's performance as Knuckles, and I'm like, yeah, he actually would be a great.
Yeah, he would have been an amazing Beta Ray Bill.
Anyway. But the reason you definitely that part I don't have any keeping Loki around, I have no issues with.
No.
Because Tom Hiddleston's great in the role,
and he's
also
to do it. That's the other thing. He's like, it's not like he's like, well, now I know that you need me, so I'm going to be hard to get. Like, no, it's just
no. Yeah, exactly. He's down to do it. And I would lump Loki into the same basket as characters like Lex Luthor and Doctor Doom. Yes, they are the biggest villain, but they're also part of the supporting cast. Like,
yes,
it's he's part of it. Like, you really shouldn't do a Thor movie without Loki if you can help it.
100%. I agree.
Just like I'd kind of argue you shouldn't do a Fantastic Four movie without Doctor Doom involved in some way, but whatever. So it is shocking. I guess we technically got Enchantress in the Loki show. Technically.
Did
with
we?
Lady Loki. Yeah, because it's the Sylvie, the they may give her, is one of the iterations of Enchantress and whatever.
I don't like Sylvie.
It's one thing to have in like Rick and Morty. Have a bit where Beth has romantic relations with her clone.
Yes.
Because Rick and Morty is Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
It's another thing on your Marvel show to be like, Loki's main love interest is Lady Him.
Is himself, so he's not gay.
Like, and we never touch on, I kind of thought like, because the whole bit with Loki is like the variants, right?
Yeah.
That like the variation in this was Odin picked up a different kid from the Frost Giants.
Yeah.
So she's not just genetically the same as Tom Hiddleston's Loki.
Yeah.
Because that's not good. I don't think the show ever does anything. I don't think they say that. Like, no, this is Lady Loki. I'm like, that's weird. That's weird.
No, I know. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't really like the actor who plays her either. Like, I'm just kind of like...
I'm fine with that. I it's interesting you're saying that because I kind of feel like... And I just didn't love the Loki show as much as everybody else seemed to.
I watched every episode and I liked season two more, but there's less Sylvie in it. But like, yeah. I just don't care about that. I was like, I'm not here for that.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to the questions in our letters page segment, Jake Hefner, do you think the Thor films could have done well if they stayed with the Kenneth Branagh style Shakespeare vibe instead of making Thor funny? Also, why does Thor never get to wear his helmet, but Loki always gets to wear his horns?
I don't know.
I would argue because he's the villain. And so it's cool to have villain, give villain headgear. We need Thor to do a lot of stuff.
I think Tom Hiddleston's more down. Like, I think Tom Hiddleston's like, I'm happy to be here. Like, maybe he's like, I was a struggling, starving artist, and I know from the other alternative.
Yeah.
You know, if they want me to wear the stupid helmet, I'll wear the stupid helmet.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's kind of fun actually. Like, he wore the costume to Comic-Con.
I would also say, anytime we see Loki in full costume, it looks cool. We see Thor with the wing helmet once, and you're like, yeah, ditch that shit.
Yeah, ditch the helmet.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I do like it. I like it a lot. I actually really liked it in this movie, and I was like, this is still pretty cool. But I understand why they don't do it. He does look like He-Man. Without
it. I also like, they figure out a way... Thor, I'm going to be honest with everybody, I think Thor looks kind of stupid in this movie. They figure it out as the movies go on. They're like, okay, you know, maybe don't dye the eyebrows.
Like, they were like, we shouldn't have bleached his eyebrows. That was a mistake.
That was a mistake. Don't do that. And do you think the Thor movies could have done well if they stayed at the Kenneth Branagh style? They might have done well. I think leaning into the fact that Thor is funny was the correct decision to make.
Yeah. I don't want Thor to be a laugh riot. It's more like I want Thor's situational, like, I would like Thor to be, like, deeply serious in his own context.
Yeah.
And then when he's with Iron Man, it's funny because he's still Thor.
Yeah.
But now he's talking to Iron Man. Like, that's the humor. That's the joy. I saw this movie and I was like, I can't wait. I could not wait for Thor to interact with Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this kind of contrast can be so fun.
You're incorrect to think that.
Like, that's where the humor comes from. It's not that Thor is a dumbass or funny. It's not, he's not cracking jokes. It's not a freaking Paul Feig movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like the humor is in the context. So it's like, yeah, no, you know what? Like, you could have done they love to do the one where they lose their powers. They could have done a Thor movie where he loses his powers again. He's stuck on Earth and he's like, I'm Thor, but I'm here. And, you know, now I'm a celebrity, but I also can't be Thor. And it's like, that'd be fun. I don't know. I mean,
that would be interesting.
That's where your humor comes from. But not like Thor just being a clown. I don't care for that. But no, Thor being like a straight, like Shakespearean character, like just playing it straight. Like if it was just all Asgard all the time. No, but clearly that like with two, they were like, oh, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Yeah, and I think, I think the other thing that I kind of wish, when you have big offers like this, I think it's important to me that the creators really know how the world works, because it's like, what is the deal with the Asgard? Because we'll see in like Ragnarok that there's like Asgardian peasants.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is the...
Are they gods?
What is the nature? Like, why do we call them gods? Like, what's the nature of that? Like, I think I'm kind of alone in that, because clearly most stuff doesn't do that, but it's like, what are the rules of this world? And because this movie leans heavily in, they're aliens.
Yes.
And we muddy those waters a little, because especially if you look at Asgard, it's like, well, that's not how anything works. That's not how objects in space work.
Well, no, it's funny because you could tell, like, there's that whole scene at the fire where he's just like, you call it magic,
but science, whatever. Ugh.
And you could feel the interference where they were like, don't, like, magic is stupid and weird.
Same with
and
Doctor Strange. They do Doctor the same Strange. Shit with Doctor Strange. He's like, fucking get over it, man.
Fucking get over it. You're making a Doctor Strange movie. Stop apologizing. You're not Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, just lean into it. But with Thor, like, the magic, like, and I love how as they feel themselves, they go for it. Like, I don't think in this movie they even call Loki the God of Mischief.
Mm-mm.
But he calls himself that in freaking Infinity War.
Yeah.
Where it's
yeah.
like, it's the end. His character's yeah. leaving. And also, like, we're it's our victory lap. Have him call himself the God of Mischief.
Yeah.
Like, let's alienate the Chinese audience, apparently, by using gods.
And
call him that. Like, that's because that's clearly what it is, right? Like, the reason why they're like, oh, they're aliens. And also, it's science is because of the Chinese audience. Like, and the problem with ghosts and gods and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe. That
Which, by the
right.
way, time to give that up. I think we kind of have, but, like, you can feel it. To the point where, like, there's, I think, 20 minutes in Age of Ultron that's just for Chinese audiences.
Yeah. We're not at the zenith of trying to court the Chinese audience yet, but we'll get there. And I think what they've learned is, because it was something crazy, like Shang-Chi wasn't allowed to play in China for some reason.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those, at that point, you're like, well, why are we even doing this?
Why are we even courting them?
Yeah.
Like, just make a dope Shang-Chi movie. Yeah. We're not going to get there. That's post.
We might, because there's technically two have. What we're doing right now is in the lead up to Doomsday.
Right.
But then we have Secret Wars. But then we have Secret Wars after that. So we could get post Endgame. It depends on you at home, the listener, and how well you embrace this little endeavor that we're doing. And if you want to keep along, so on this channel, if this is your first one, we also did Incredible Hulk. But if you want to check out Captain America, Sal. Where are they going to go to listen to the Captain America episode?
You got to check out patreon.com/comicpop to watch or listen to our Captain America conversation. That's going to be a fun one. I already made the thumbnail. I made for that like months ago. I was like, I'm doing Cap. Sweet.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. We're going to chat all about it. It's basically just going to be this show. Like it's the same show.
Yeah. But, yeah. That'll be very, I'm excited to get to Cap. Cause I feel like every time I revisit the first Avenger, I have like a kind of a different experience with it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to revisit.
Yeah. I have a real interesting relationship with this movie because I was like, here comes the boring one.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like it might be one of my favorites in phase one.
Well, it's one of those things that you hear people talk about, you know, the Cap trilogy. Sorry, Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, the Cap trilogy. The quadrilogy.
Yeah. But the first three movies being like probably the best trilogy within the MCU. And I was like, well, the first one. And then I rewatched it. I'm like, this is better than I remember it being.
I was
hard on the, and I guess to some degree I still am. I was hard on these movies because, you know, you kind of want them to feel like real movies.
Yeah.
And as opposed to part of this blockbuster apparatus. But I think you made a really good point when you look at these other movies in this timeline that we're in, how these did pop and stand out. Like me, DJ going in there kind of trying to compare them to the Dark Knight. Dark Knight, you're like, that's not fair to this movie. But even if you go in this movie comparing it to like Iron Man 1, it's like still not getting it. Still quite not there. But I think...
But it is its own thing. Like that's what I think is so... Like, is such a lesson that they didn't learn, but like inadvertently enjoyed the benefits from, which is that like... You're making an Iron... No. That was an Iron Man franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a Captain America franchise. They're going to feel different.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's why the Batman could interact with Corin Sweat Superman. Because they're supposed to feel different.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do that.
Did you see the synopsis? The potential synopsis for the Batman 2?
Oh, God. No.
They're like Batman Harvey teams Dent's up dad. with Commissioner Gordon and Harvey Dent to take down a mysterious serial killer. And it's like, that's the Dark Knight gang. I don't know how to break it to you, but that's
the
Dark Knight.
That's the Long Halloween again.
Yeah, they're doing the Long Halloween. Well, get this. I don't know if you saw this. So Sebastian Stan's supposed to be Harvey Dent. And Scarlett Johansson's playing his wife. And I know general audiences might be, Scarlett Johansson playing the wife of Harvey Dent? It's like, yeah, man, we're doing the Long Halloween, baby. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, Long Halloween again. How about that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with it'll probably be great, but that kind of bums me out.
Yeah, I love watching movies that I know beat for beat before I see them. And
maybe there will be... Well, the other thing... Sorry, gang, for the tangent. The other thing is when you say like... And again, this is a potential... I don't know if they've officially announced the synopsis, but this is what's circulating online. I'm also like, another serial killer? We just did Riddler.
Like that... Oh, God. That great shot when like you reveal Riddler where like he's been standing in the room the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, the audience went, oh! Like the audience freaked out. And I'm like, that's a movie. You just made a real movie.
Yeah.
But you don't do that again.
Yeah.
You just did that.
Yeah.
Make Man Bat.
I'm going to do Man Bat. Hey, I'm going to float one. What if a guy had a freeze gun? Hold on a second. They're not going to do it. I do kind of hope that, like, if we're stuck with this Brave and the Bold thing, I kind of do hope that
And we're doing a new Batman for the DCU. I kind of do hope they do kind of what they've been doing, especially if we have basic base coat Batman in the Batman. Do with your other Batman movie what they're doing with Spider-Man over Marvel, where it's like, yeah, every bunch of characters come and hang out with him. He's kind of the centerpiece of these movies. Are Batman in this movie gets to hang out with Deadman.
Like, you know what I mean? Deadman.
Like, just, and it could be like Act One, it's him and Deadman. Like, a mystery has occurred, and Batman needs to bounce around the DCU and hang out with a bunch of weirdos that don't have enough juice to get their own movie.
Yes, what that's you're saying movie. Is Batman Universe. You want to see a Batman Universe movie? Batman which Universe. I 100% am very on board.
Or Batman: The Brave and the Bold, the cartoon, but that as a live action movie, like that same premise of like, it's him and Robin hanging out with the Metal Men are the only ones that can solve this mystery with, you know what I mean?
Like, finest, yes.
Yeah, like, who gives a shit? Like, you know, that'll at least make it different than the Batman, but I do, and I'm not trying to bag on the Batman Part 2 early, because I like the Batman and I like the Penguin. I just, it's sounding a little too similar to things that I'm already pretty familiar with. So, anyway, patreon.com/comicpop. If you're listening to this, that's where you're going to go for the next episode. If you're listening to this, thank you for being a patron over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And thank you guys for going on this journey with us. It's an exciting refresher as we go into this new phase of Marvel history. And
perhaps the last one.
We'll see. We'll all find out together. See you guys next time. Bye, everybody.